Psalm chapter 127. 127. We'll read this, and then we're going to read a couple of verses in Genesis. We've been talking about the family, and we have a couple more weeks left. Psalm chapter 127, verse number 1. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now flip over to Genesis chapter 1. It's at the front of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1. By the way, as you're flipping, a couple things. Singing was great. Now the little ones that were up here, the Pee-wees, they struggled tonight. What happened is we promote them. So all of the group that was there, they all got promoted to regular patch. This was a brand new group, and they had that deer in the headlight look, didn't they? They were like, I don't want to be up here. We don't want to be up here. We don't want to see you. And so, but they were cute, weren't they? Great. And then family nights, we will have food and fellowship afterwards. It's just that even if it's not raining, we can't have the little guys out here playing basketball in the basketball court. They all have lawyers, so we can't do that, all right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, Matthew chapter 19, please. Matthew chapter 19. We'll read three verses here, and then we'll let you be seated. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, verse number 4. And he answered them and said, have you not read, he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Let that settle in for a minute. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's the only two options. There's no such thing as gender fluid. Okay, it's we are a lot better off when we just stuck with the Bible. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. It says man, and he cleaves to his wife. And they shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for all you do for us. And Lord, we pray you'd be with us tonight. Help us as we just look at a couple things here about the family and we finish or continue on in our series. Lord, encourage us and strengthen us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me put this up here. We've been talking about marriage and family. Of course, our series is It's Never Too Late for Happily Ever After. And we've been looking at that. The problem, as we even read these simple verses that distinguish between man and woman, you know, and marriage is man and a woman. When we get away from the Bible, we always have problems. And so there are two ways you can do anything. You can do them your way or man's way, or we can do them God's way. When man tries to do something and we get away from God's way, we always have problems. God's view of the family is much different than our society's view. Families kind of look down upon. Having children is kind of frowned upon. You know, well, you know, family gets in the way. Having a wife and having children, that gets in the way of what I want. By the way, did you hear about that lady in China? She gets out of her car. She has a three-year-old. The door automatically closes on accident, and the child's locked in the car, and it's hot. So the fire department comes. The kid's struggling. They're going to break the window. She says, don't break the window. This is a very expensive car. Finally, the kid started to pass out, and the fire department said, we ain't listening to you anymore. What do we think? What is wrong with us? Our values are so messed up. By the way, family does not get in the way of your life. Family adds flavor to your life. Okay, life was boring before family. What did someone gave us a little thing? You call it family. Someone that we used to have at our house, I think we got rid of it. It's a little sign that said, you call it chaos, we call it family. And that's sometimes how I feel, but I enjoy it. Well, you know, I just need my freedom. Whenever someone asks us, how many children you have? We have seven. They look at us like, what's wrong with you? It's like, there's nothing wrong with children. We love children. Now we have four grandchildren going on five. One day hope to have 200. Best thing about grandchildren, you can always send them home. It's like, I love you, but get out of here. Your parents, no, I'm kidding. We like to have them all the time. People think marriage weighs them down. As a result of our selfish society, some even regret having children or getting married. I saw a little article on Yahoo, and this lady wrote it, and she was talking about how painful it was when she was 12 years old, and her mother came up to her and said, I regret ever having you. Here's what this lady said. When I was about 12 years old, my mother told me she regretted having me. And then the mom gave her some advice. I hope you'll think for a long time before coming a mom. If I had to do it all over again, I'm not sure I would have had children. At 12, this lady says, her words stung. I had no idea what she meant or why she said it. Did she really wish I hadn't been born? It is only now, 20 years later, with three kids of my own, that I understand what she meant. And she gives this phrase. It's not that she knew becoming a woman meant her life. It's that she knew becoming a mom meant her life would never again be entirely her own. But that's where we're at. We're selfish. Children are a blessing. The Bible says that very clearly. We read it in Psalm chapter 127. And people that have a lot of children, people look at them like there's something wrong with them. The problem is, and how we do it. If family is a curse, it's because we've gotten away from following God's precepts about how the family ought to run. If marriage is a burden and not a blessing, it's because we've gotten away from following God's dictates for marriage. We need to think this through. It should be more of a blessing, and it is, than it is a burden. Now, I'm not saying sometimes there aren't, you know, you have all these children, you have children, you're raising them, and sometimes life gets a little flustered, but that's okay. Well, is it Brother Suter was here? I think he was in Monterey Park. He was preaching one time, and he over at Monterey Park, and he said he was laying in bed. His wife was asleep, and he was a little agitated with her about something. And he was laying in bed just thinking, man, she kind of irritated me today. He was thinking that in his mind. Can't say that I've ever thought about that once. Twice. But he said, almost like God put this thought in his mind, like, that's fine. If you'd like, I could just have her stop breathing right now. And he thought, no, that's not what I want. The blessings far outweigh anything we put into it. But our thinking isn't like that anymore. Tonight, as we talked about much, I want to give you a couple keys that'll help us in our families, marriages, and with our children. The first one, the key we need to understand is communication. Communication. This is a key that, particularly in the marriage, that makes everything work together. There's got to be communication. Everything we've talked about how men and women are different and all those things we need to understand about each other, but there's got to be communication in a family. There are different types of communication. Some are destructive. Others are very helpful. Let's look at some verses about what we say in our communication in the book of Proverbs and how important it is. We're going to look at several verses in Proverbs. Why don't we turn over to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 21. And then leave your finger there. We'll read several. We think just the things we say them so flippantly, and we can take them back, and it's nothing to it. That's not what the Bible says. Words have weight to them. And once you shoot them out, you can never take them back. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." We don't understand how powerful the words we use are every day. We say something in a burst of anger to somebody, and we're like, when we're not angry anymore, we kind of blow it off, but we don't understand the damage that could do in that person's life. And by the way, there's a positive aspect to it. Doesn't just say death isn't the power of the tongue, life isn't the power of the tongue. We can use that same tongue for encouragement. It's like a knife. You can use a knife to stab somebody, but in the hands of a surgeon, it can be used to help somebody and maybe even save their life. The same with our tongue. Proverbs chapter 12, please. A couple chapters over. All the things that we say. Proverbs chapter 12, look at verse 17. It says, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, hurtful. But the tongue of the wise is health, helpful. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." Turn back another chapter or two to Proverbs chapter 10. Communication is vital. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18. It says, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. In the multitudes of words there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise." We talk so loose sometimes when we ought to just watch what we're saying. "The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want or lack of wisdom." Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15, a couple more here, and we'll make a few thoughts. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stirreth up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness." We've all done it. You've been in a conversation, a little conflict or whatever, and you, instead of saying something that could pacify the situation, you said something that's like a flamethrower and just got that thing burning out of control. Okay? And if I asked how many have ever done that in our life, all of us would raise our hand. But a soft answer, how we speak, can either make a situation better or can make a situation worse. And then Proverbs 29, verse 20. Let me just read it to you. You can flip over if you'd like. It says, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him." And there's many more verses we could pull out. We could from the Bible and from Proverbs. But what we say is important. Our communication, our words have far-reaching consequences if we're not careful. What kind of communications are there in a relationship, in a marriage, in a family? Let me give you several. First of all, there's a closed communication. That's when everything stays inside and we're not sharing it with our spouse, or a child is not sharing it with their parents. It's closed. And by the way, if we hold it in like that, eventually it comes out, but it comes out like an eruption. Like, where did that come from? You've been holding it in for too long. There has to be open. By the way, your spouse can't read your mind. Sometimes we talked about that, how, you know, it's like nothing says, it's like, ladies, help men out. You know what we know? What, you know what we really want? We want to know what you need. Tell us. Don't expect us to. We don't read minds, okay? By the way, no one can know a lady completely. Understanding a lady is a lifelong project, all right? And when you get to the end and you think you figured it out, it's like, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Help us out. That's communication. Marriage relationship, it's a sign when someone is silent that they've tuned out. Usually women tune out because there's not a resolution to the problem. Men, we can go at it sometimes and we're okay. I could have it out, Brother Panay and I, we're going after something, when we're both sharing and we're emotional into it, and then 5 minutes later it's like, hey, let's go get something to eat. Especially if he's paying. But that's not true. The lady, they want resolution. We're like, I thought we were over this. We discussed it. We were done with this. You say, how do you know that that's a problem? Here's what it is. It's called one-word answers. Everything okay? Yeah. You seemed a little agitated. No. I'm hungry. Are you hungry? Yeah. It's like, sister, help us out. It's like, that's a sign that something is wrong. Okay? What does that mean? Run the other way. Just kidding. Now, when a husband is quiet, you know why we get quiet? We want to avoid drama. We don't want drama. We don't. Some people thrive on it. We don't. And it's like, we're getting nowhere here. I'm just shutting out. By the way, that's not a good thing. Both have to be involved. There has to be communication. Silence does not help. Children do this. By the way, sometimes your kid is quiet, your child is quiet when after you discipline them. That's a sign they didn't get it. Okay? They didn't get it. And you need to make sure they get it. But look, don't let them go. And our kids have never been like this where they just go hide in their room. I don't know if we've had official rule, but we just didn't like it, and they don't do it. They're just kind of, look, they're in their rooms because they're doing something, and they don't just, like, come home and head straight to their room, and they tune in and tune out. It's like, that's not how we are. Our family, most of the time, we're all out in the living room unless we're working on something, or our house, most all you've been there this summer, that big U, so we're always there with each other. And I like that. I don't want them just hide in their room. They're not going to do that. But so, you know, they all quiet and they hide in their room and then they just tune each other out. There has to be communication. Ephesians tells us, and fathers, we need to be careful of this. Oh, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You know what that means? Don't make them mad. But bring them up and nurture an admonition to the Lord. Now, that's not talking about a general anger that some rebellious kids get. I'm talking about because we've treated them unjustly. Remember, many years ago, Jessica, our daughter Jessica, our oldest, she was four or five. Jessica was a really easy kid. She was a good kid. Never, you discipline her, it's like, okay, you know, I deserve it. It's no big deal. Never gave me a problem or any of that stuff. But when she was five, I disciplined her for something in the room, and she just wasn't buying it. And I'm like, this is not like her. And so, you know, I didn't let it go. I'm like, what's going on with you? She's, you know, little five-year-old. Like, come on, what's going on? And finally, she looked at me and yelled, I didn't do it. She'd never done that. Now, she does it all the time. Just kidding. Never done that. I'm like, you know why she was mad? She didn't do it. I disciplined her unjustly. That happens. Let's not let the communication be closed. That doesn't help anything. When you shut it out, you're headed down a bad path. Then there's a casual communication. What's casual? By the way, every relationship needs this. Just general talking. What's going on in your life? No agendas. Nothing special. Just being with them and talking with them to be with them. That's when you go on date night with your wife. You're not there to fix a problem. You're not there to do this. You're there just like when you were dating. Let's talk. How was your day? What's going on? We need that kind of communication. Casual. Talking to the kids. Remember Josiah when he would come. I don't know what it was when he was a little boy. He like memorized the Sunday school lessons he heard. I think Brother Rubio was teaching on Jonah or something. And, you know, we're eating lunch on Sunday afternoon. And I'm just trying to make, you know, I didn't really expect a long sermon here, but I'm just making conversation. Hey, Josiah, what was Sunday school about? And he went on it. I mean, he started from the beginning. He retaught the whole lesson. I mean, like for 20 minutes. So we were eating, and after 10 minutes, and he's still telling me the story, I'm said, you know what? I listen better if I'm laying on the couch. Why don't you come over here? Let's lay on the couch, and you can finish this story. Like 20 minutes. He wanted to tell me every detail. Casual. There ought to be times you just enjoy talking and being with each other. As I mentioned many times, you enjoyed being with your wife or your husband before you got married. You ought to still enjoy being around them after you're married. Then there's a correcting kind of communication. Now let me say this. This doesn't work. The only time you talk to somebody is when you're telling them they're doing something wrong. Okay, this doesn't work in a marriage. Always trying to correct. By the way, years ago, my wife went to some little conference. I think it was a lady. I forget what it was. And she came back with the stickers that said, you were caught doing good. Have you ever seen those stickers? Yeah. That's what's a, and I, by the way, I'll put my hand up. Some of us, we naturally see the negative. Are you there? How many of you are like that? You see the negative. I mean, I'll come home, everything's great, and there's little two things wrong. I don't see everything that's great. I see the two things that are wrong. If I'm not careful, it's all, look, you know, the boys play basketball, and Jack has a good game. It's like, you know, hey, man, yeah, but you missed this one, and that one play, you made a bad pass. It's like, brother, he had 25 points. I had to say something nice to him, okay? And I have to catch myself. When I was coaching the teams, I was a little bit of a perfectionist, man. We would win, but it was never good enough. I know we won, but if we played like that against that team, we'd lose. We weren't playing that team. A little bit of encouragement. But we're always trying to correct every single little problem. People need encouragement. By the way, it doesn't hurt to encourage somebody. Then there's the language of the communication of conflict. Now, we call this a fight. Oh, I'm sorry. We're Christians. We don't have fights. We have disagreements with spirit. Okay? Conflict. Be very careful. This is where it all comes out the wrong way. It's not helpful. Everybody's been there. Harsh things are said that probably should not be said. And by the way, once they leave your lips, you can't take them back. You don't know how that's going to affect somebody. That's where we use generalities, you know. By the way, you should never use the word, you never, or you always. It's like, really? Do you always do that? No. Do you never do that? No. That's generalities. Be specific. Not when you're fighting. I mean, just be specific about it. You're talking about something, talk about it. The goal of a conflict is resolution, not victory. You know what happens in these kind of conflicts if people don't learn how to communicate? You ought to be dealing with an issue. Here's the issue we need to deal with. But when it becomes conflict, we quit dealing with the issue and we start attacking the person. That's a problem. What does attacking a person have to do with fixing the conflict or fixing the issue? Very, very easy if we're not careful. And then the best kind of communication is what we call connecting. This is where this kind of communication draws you together. It just works. It's closeness. And by the way, if a spouses are married, they ought to be able to have those kind of conversations with each other they don't have with anybody else. Okay? That relationship you have is a deeper relationship than any relationship in the world. And you ought to guard that correctly. By the way, it's very hurtful if your spouse shares something with you because you're your spouse and you go tell somebody else. Okay? What happens between you happens between you. But the connecting kind of. How do we have this kind of relationship? How do we do it? We mentioned it very first lesson. You both need to draw closer to God. The closer we all to the Lord, the closer and better our communication will be with each other. It's like if you're tuning a piano. We have one piano here. But if we had two pianos, we would not tune both of the pianos by tuning them to each other. You don't come and ding this one and come over here and ding this one and try to make them both sound the same. If you want them to be tuned completely equal to each other in perfect harmony, you get an outside source, a tuning fork or whatever they use. And you tune that piano to it, and then you tune that piano to it. If they're both tuned to the tuning fork, they're both going to be tuned to each other. If we're in tune with the Lord, we're going to be in tune with each other. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. So we see communication. Another key, and this is just kind of going a little different direction, but I think we need to understand this. There needs to be a connection in the family. You know what that is? That's just spending time together. That's just being with one another. That's just showing love by doing things together. Families need time. There's no substitute for that. The scourge of our society is the busyness and absentee parents. And I'm not even talking absentee parents that aren't even at home. Just absent. They're not with their children at all. How many ever heard of Jalen Rose? Jalen Rose was a basketball player. Many people don't know this, but Jalen Rose's dad was a very good basketball player. His name was Jimmy Walker. very good basketball player, had zero relationship with his son. Zero. Never went to see him. Ever. He found out that that was his dad. His dad didn't want to have anything to do with him. He said despite his dad, he wore the opposite of his dad's number. I don't know what his dad was. If he was 12, he wore 21 because I didn't want to have anything to do with my dad. He actually said that he didn't like Grant. Their rival in college, I think, was Duke, Grant Hill, right? He didn't like Grant Hill because Grant Hill had everything he didn't have. He had a father who loved him, a father who took care of him and was involved in his life. And he said, I know it wasn't his fault, but I was bitter at the world and I didn't like him because of that. You think it affects children when you don't spend time with them? Well, I think that's one of the reasons our society is in such horrible shape. Okay? You read the last few verses of the Bible. You want to have revival? You need to turn the hearts of the fathers, especially to the children. In most cases where there's no time being spent, they're not a part of their lives, it's typically the father. Although, sad to say, in our corrupt society, it's becoming more and more ladies are involved in that. They'll split up and just tell the husband, you take the kids. I don't want you take them. Not that I'm saying it's right for a dad to ditch his children. Where are we at? Being a father is more than just having a child. It's a job description. Years ago, over on 10th Street, we used to live over on St. Louis and 10th Street, and I was driving down the street, and there was a picture of a lady. There was a picture of a lady with a dog. It was like the Humane Society. And the caption on the sign said, here's one male that's not afraid of commitment. How sad that they have to compare us to dogs. They're more faithful than a husband, more faithful than a father. We need to spend time together. Very important. When I was in Bible college, and maybe I took a little strong, but, you know, we'd hear guys, they'd come in the chapel and they'd preach, and they'd talk a lot about how busy they were, and you get busy, I understand that. But on a few occasions, I heard a man come, and I'm not trying to be critical here, but take it for whatever it's worth. I heard a couple guys, and they'd get up, and like, you know, I'm hardly ever with my family, I don't see my kids that much, and they're going on and on and on about all that. And as I sat there in college, I heard that a couple times, and it grieved me. I said, I'll never be like that. If I'm a father, I'm going to take it seriously. My kids are going to have a father. My wife is going to have a husband. Absenteeism. What kind of things can we do? Just let me give you. These aren't life-shattering, but we ought to do them. Because sometimes commitment is spelled with time. Sometimes showing that you care is just giving them time. You ought to have a date night with your wife. We talk about that all the time. But let me just say one thing. We won't harp on it because we've talked about it already. What's your specific date night? You have one? I mean, what day of the week? I mean, before you were married, you couldn't wait to see each other. Now it's like, really? She's in the bank? You don't need to take her out? I think families ought to have vacations together. Sometimes you ought to just have a family night. Nothing's going on. Like, hey, let's go do something. We've done it. We know, like, we'll just go get something to eat. We've done it at times in the past. It used to be McDonald's up by our house would have, I think Monday night years ago was family night, and everything was cheap. That's back before I realized McDonald's isn't real food. It was real inexpensive, so we would go there. I remember one time we took, I think it was Emily. She just got potty trained. And we're like, all right, Emily. We're going to take you all to McDonald's to celebrate your potty trained. She's like, what, two? She's all fired up and excited. We all go to McDonald's. We order the food. While we're sitting at the table waiting for the food to come, she had an accident. So I guess we came just a little bit too early. But just doing things to the family. I'm too busy for that. Then you're too busy. Your family's not a distraction. They're a responsibility. Doing activities together. We've done all kinds of weird things. By the way, find times to go with them. If, you know, sometimes, and I know we criticize, you know, well, yeah, guys, I don't like to go shopping or whatever. You know what? Let me get this out of the way. You know, your wife's going out to the store or something and you got nothing. Why don't you go with her? So I don't want to go shopping. Go to be with her. That didn't go over very well. Okay, thanks. And I know, opportunity for fight, because listen, I know when we shop, it's like, okay, I know exactly what I need. You go and get it, and then you go and pay for it. My wife's on the way to go and pay for it. She's already flipped out four different things and traded them in, and it's like she's all over the map. And I know it's coming. You know, we go to Costco. I'll go to Costco with you. Why? Do you want to be with your wife? No, I like the samples. Amen? They're good. Go to Costco, and it's like I only have to get three things. And I know what that means. I just get a shopping cart, and I'm like, do I need two carts or three? And we're just two things. And I'm like, I know. Next thing you know, it's like we have three baskets full of goods, okay? But you know what? I don't necessarily go just for the samples, although the samples are good. Go to be with my wife. Find things to do. So take your children out. Set up some traditions in your family. And then the last key is this. Church. Let me read a verse, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You've got to have that together. Okay, maybe that should have been number one. Church ought to be a family deal. Okay, it ought to just be a family deal. It's like we go, listen, my children growing up, we didn't ask. You want to go to church today? They didn't have an option. We're going. And by the way, they wanted to come. But it's just, that's what we do. Church. There ought to be some guidelines and practices that your family follows in regard to church. And by the way, I remember we were in Florida. We helped start a church in Florida, and there was a college kid there that was with us, and he was dating a girl. And so, I was married and had children. The other guy was running the bus route. He was married and had children. We were going out to the bus route, and we asked a single guy, hey, you want to go with us to help the bus route? And he goes, no, I ain't doing that. He said, and he quoted this verse. He said, I am not putting my family before ministry. Like, brother, you're not even married. You're dating this girl. We didn't ask you to go to the Bahamas for 6 months. We asked you to go on a bus route for a few hours on a Saturday. And then I pointed out to him, I don't think he appreciated it, that it's talking about us. It doesn't say I'll put my family before ministry. It says, as for me and my house, we will, what was that word there? Serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. That sounds like activity. One thing that's nice, and you can have it no matter what, about, you know, being in the church in early days when we first started is, you know, there was very few workers in the early days of the church. So our family, everybody chipped in. I mean, they were involved in everything. When my wife was on the bus route, and I think she helped Brother Pineda's bus route, our kids are out there with her visiting on Saturday and picking them up. I mean, Hannah was out there when she was 4 days old on the bus route. That's because my wife's a little different. She just kind of gets in there. But it's like she'd have all of our children. They're out working on the bus route from the time they were little at that time. Hey, they shouldn't look at church as like, oh, man. They ought to say, hey, I get to be involved. I get to see things happen. I get to be involved and see what's going on. Our family is just ingrained in church. Let me give you a couple of things I think that'll help you and we're done. Make church attendance non-optional. Well, Junior, do you know you want to go to church? Listen, you ask a 4-year-old on a Sunday morning if they want to go to church, the answer is always going to be no. Fact of the matter, when the alarm goes off, I don't want to go. I want to go back to bed. Hey, we're going to church today. That's what we do. Kids are okay with it. Make serving the Lord a family thing. Let the children be involved. We already mentioned that. Make soul winning times non-optional. We have times we go out in our area and the children try to share the gospel and win others to the Lord. And as a church family, we do it on Tuesday nights. And then there's times for them on Thursdays during the school year, the teenagers go. Listen, our children go. They always have. I'm not going to find excuses not for them to be out there. It's just something we've always done. It's something they're going to do. As a family, get behind what the church is doing. Listen, the building's been going on for several years, and we've been giving and giving and giving. It started when we moved into this building. And I never got with my children, especially ones that are adults now, and said, you have to give to the church. They just did. Whatever program we were in, if they said, I want the children to do this and raise $500, they're in. And as my older ones were older and they were giving before they would get married, you know, they get, and maybe I was being nosy here, maybe I shouldn't have been, but, you know, their giving statements would come in. I just opened them up. I already knew. I just wanted to confirm what I already knew. Our children were all in, given to the building. And it's not that I sat down, you had to do this and you had to do that. They just knew if the church is doing it, I want to be a part of it. They'll be able to look back in their years as they get older and say, man, I had a part to do with that. I remember when we were doing this. I remember when we sold. Look, one time we were selling for the building and raising money, and Stephen was a little boy. He sold my laptop. I had an extra laptop. He didn't ask me if he could sell. He sold it. He got about half of what he could have got for it. I don't think he cleaned it either, man. All of our files were on there. That's kind of weird, you know? It's like, kid. But you know what? He was excited to raise money. I'm like, what else of mine did you sell? You know, why didn't you sell something to mom's? But I'm glad they're behind what the church is doing. And let me just say this, and we're done. Don't let your children drive the spiritual bus. You'll wreck. Well, you know, my little child got upset about something. Get in line. I get upset about things. Get in line. Not everything goes perfect. You know why things don't go perfect in a church? I'm going to tell you why. You ready? Because we're people. As soon as we're all perfect, we will never have a problem in the church. But we're humans. Especially as they start to get teenagers, you got to be very careful. They'll try to drive a little wedge so they can have their way. But it's like, you have something against that person, you know what the Christian thing to do is? Talk to them. I'm not going to teach them to run away from disagreements, because they're going to have them their whole life. You know, this happened here and this person got upset. I get it. But let's teach the children, hey, you know what? Here's what we do. You're part of the family. And by the way, if you do it from the time they're little, they'll love it and they'll be on board. They'll be on board. Make them a part of what's going on. Make church and make serving the Lord and make the Lord just something. It's like, we're in on this, man. This is great. His commandments are not grievous. Well, I know, we've got to go to church today. Man, we get to go to church today. What am I saying? I said a lot of things. I say this. I mentioned last week, one of the greatest things is family. That's been a great blessing. I can't imagine not being married. I can't imagine not having children and now grandchildren. I couldn't imagine it. It's great. Oh, has it always been perfect? Nope. Man, if I'm ever home alone or I'm home alone with my wife, it's like, how'd that happen? There's always someone over the house. But you know what? I'm glad. I like having them around. And you know what? And to the credit, our children like being around us. I think they're trying to get free food or something. I'm not sure. So I thought when you get married, you move out. I didn't know how that all worked, but it's not working in our house. But I love family. Maybe some of you know you struggle a little in that. You say, man, my marriage is okay, but it's just, you know what? It can be there. Don't take the, I got the wrong person. It just got, you know, and why do we have all these kids? Listen, it's never too late for happily ever after. Family's a blessing. Just read the Bible. It's right there. If we follow God's way, let's pray.